congregational song, and those that know the song can join in with us. Amen? And it's a song Courtney used to do. We just thank God for her life and for her impact on this world. Amen? Y'all, guess what? Guess what? We still remember. We still have our days. Amen? But guess what? Even through it all, we can rejoice in the fact that we know where she is. Amen? She is in the presence of the Most High God. And so we just give God glory. We give God honor, and we give God the praise for her life and for her impact on this world. Guess what? He gets it. He deserves it all. Even the song that she used to sing, he deserves. Amen. Y'all can give God a hand clap of praise in here, because he deserves the glory. He deserves the honor, and he deserves the praise. Amen.
Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases, people are slipping away. Economy's down, people don't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Old folks without homes are in the streets, and the drug habits, some say, they just can't be. Mugs and robbers, people don't seem to be safe, but you've been my protection every step of the way. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. With no food and no clothes, all left alone, without a friend, just another number with a tragic end. But it didn't seem fit to let none of these things be. But every day, by your power, you keep on blessing me. And I wanna say, it could have been me outdoors with no food and no clothes, all left alone, found a friend, just another number with a tragic end. But you didn't see fit to let none of these things be. But every day by your power, you keep on keeping me. I wanna say, yeah, I wanna say, yeah, I wanna say, I wanna thank you for your love. I thank you for your power. I thank you for protection every hour. Thank you for your love. I thank you for your power. I thank you for protection every hour. Thank you. I thank you for your power. Thank you for protection every hour. Thank you for your love. I thank you for your power. I thank you for protection every hour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to say thank you, Lord. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to say thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for.
Sons and the daughters of God. Doeth not yet appear what we're going to be. But we know when he appears, guess what, church? We're going to be like him. Bible says that, guess what? We're fearfully and we're wonderfully made. Also says in Ephesians, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works. That's why I thank God. It's so personal right now. I ain't got to get up here and try to pump nobody up. Amen. But when you know this word, he tells you how much you're loved. To know in John 17 that he prayed for us, that we would be in him and he would be in us. To know that he commended the love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us. He loves us. Lauren sings a song, "Oh, how he loves me. He loves me. He loves me." Amen. We're loved. We're the love of God. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Amen. Romans chapter 10. Beginning at the first verse. And it says, "Brothers, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish in their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith," amen, "which is now of faith, speaketh on this wise, to say, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead? But what saith it, the word is not thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. In the focal verse that I had is, "For they being ignorant," verse 3, "of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Amen. The text, or the topic, if we give it one, the danger of religion without submission. Amen. The danger of religion without submission. I thank God for everybody in the place. Amen. This is our first service of two. We will be preaching this message again when we get to the farmhouse. So all those that are setting up tables, getting their food together, we'll preach it again when we get out there. Amen? I just got lightened up. Amen. Amen. The danger of religion without submission. And I just thank God, man. I thank God for this text. And I thank God for his spirit that leads, that brings me back to this place. Then we have no other recourse but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Try to get away from it. And I was, man, I was in in other texts, other passages, other scriptures. And guess what? It's like the word brought me back to this text right here. And my grandfather used to have a saying. He used to say he was dug up by the plowshares of the gospel. And when God gets you up, clean you off, amen, and puts you on the road, call straight, then he calls you into this ministry, to this gospel ministry, guess what? We're compelled to preach the gospel. We have no other recourse but to preach the gospel. And that really is, it is the good news. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible says, curse unto him that preaches not the gospel, or preach another gospel. But we thank God for Paul just challenging them to let them know here, the Judaizers and here in Romans, to say, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for God and Israel is that they might be saved. And guess what? They were already in church. They were already from religion. They were already keeping a different ordinances and still trying to hold on to the law. And so when Paul would challenge them on, you still need to be saved, regardless of you saying you're of Abraham's seed, or regardless of you saying you belong to this church, or I belong to Community Baptist Church, or that church, you need to be born again. Bible says in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus said, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. Amen? So when he said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. The perfect description of Paul himself before his conversion. Saul had a zeal for God, but not according to knowing Jesus Christ. Not according to, because when you know Jesus Christ, you will know the truth. And you will know the way, and you will know the life. So when he says, you have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, the truth, knowing me. And that word of knowledge is also derived from knowing Jesus. And the Bible says in Hosea, I believe 4:6, that my people are destroyed. Why? For the lack of knowledge. And we're destroyed. Not, he's not talking about head knowledge. He's not talking about cum laude and Lord have mercy and all these other degrees and other things. But he's talking about an intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ, a submission to his will, a submission to his word, a submission to his voice, that you would hearken to obey his word and his will. Amen? And so he says that knowledge is knowing Jesus Christ. Paul had a zeal according to knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. And even before he was saved, he had a zeal. Before God changed his name to Paul, he had a zeal. And really, he thought he was doing the work of the Lord. Y'all know that? He thought when he was persecuted and just persecuting the Christian and the believer, and even after he ordered the stoning of Stephen, and the Bible says they took their clothes and they laid them at his feet. Amen. They laid them at his feet. And he was a young man. But how many know God stopped him on Damascus Road, and the truth of Jesus Christ appeared to him and blinded him and struck him. Amen. And guess what? Once he was saved, we were talking about this yesterday, amen. Once he got a hold of this love, this newfound relationship, being knocked off his donkey, guess what? He was compelled done for me. I don't know what he's done in my life. But when I look back at the mess that I was, and even though I thought I was doing the right thing, amen, but how he would stop me, deliver me, break my shackles, break my chains, pick me up, clean me off, and put me on the road of strength. Guess what? Y'all can get up out of this church right now. Everybody can walk out of here. Somebody say, don't be too extreme now. But guess what? I'm in love with Jesus Christ. I'm compelled to preach the truth, to let the world know that the wages of sin is still dead. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. It might only be Quincy and Minister Williams. It may only be them two left. And we just is crazy. Amen. But when everybody else is going this way, God has told us to go against the grain. To preach it. To be instant in season. To be instant out of season. Whether people like it or whether they don't like it. And guess what? The challenge is on you too. To live it. And to proclaim through your life to a dying world that come meet this man named Jesus. And man, when I look, listen, it wasn't like I was out there, right? Grew up in my father's house. They used to call us the fence kids. At least that's what Dana told me. Hey man, we wasn't crazy like out partying and drinking. But guess what? We weren't living right either. Amen. And guess what? I might not have been locked up in college. Now, y'all notice I said locked up in college. That's what Jake and Brother Norman, they call it college. Amen. I might not have been doing all these things at this party, but I know what I was doing. And when I can look back over my life and see deliverance for real, when I can, amen, when I can see things that I used to do, not doing no more, when I can see lies and sex and lust and stuff that we used to, sensuality, things we used to look at, gossip, I don't care, put your name in it, whatever you were doing, when you look back over your life and you see where God has brought you from, it's only Jesus Christ. That's why Paul, he was stopped, he was delivered, he was saved, he was set free. Amen. That's why he said, I'm compelled to go. I am persuaded. And when you look back at it, it's like when you're in the Word of God, he shows you what you used to be. And he zeroes in on the crooked heart, stony heart. And when you can look back over your life and see God, or it could have been a test. It could have been a doctor's report. It could have been losing a loved one. But still, when you look back over your life, what? And you see where God has brought you from danger seen and unseen, to know the habit, the addiction, the worry, the anxiety, the depression, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. He's delivered me to know that weeping may endure for a night. But if you hold on, joy comes in the morning. Amen. When I think about that goodness, when I think about, listen, I ain't got to talk about nobody else. And we all need to get there. Look at her. You know what she needs to be. Look at him. You know what he used to do. How many kids he got? How many baby mamas he got? But when I think about my own mess, where I was, I ain't got to think about nobody else. And where God has brought me from, it's a wonder down in my soul. I can't listen to the song of Larry. Larry was out here. He could sing that song. Amen. Amen. It's only Jesus, y'all. Not because we've been so good, because of his love, he's come to set us free. Amen. And the problem is these folk were locked in religion. And many of them really, he says they weren't saved. Because he says, my heart's desire is that Israel might be saved. Guess what, y'all? Listen, I ain't got to go to work beating people up over the head with my Bible. Speaking Christianese. Amen. Rebuking and all this stuff. Man, when I thank God Pastor Wright told us, be who you are to them. And who you are in Jesus Christ is good enough. Oh, there's that right there. Amen. Lord, I have a witness down in my soul. Something like that. I'm messing the song up. But just let it out. Who Christ is. What he, listen, you don't need no special degree. But you know where he's brought you from. You know where he's bringing you to. Amen. And there were many people in there that were building up a scorecard, keeping the law, just trying to be a good person, just trying to go to church once or twice a month, that somebody would see me and say that you've been there. Amen. For they were ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness. And they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. We need to know our righteousness won't cut it. For the Bible says in Isaiah that our righteousness are as a what? Filthy rag. 2 Corinthians 5:19, the Bible says to wit that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And guess what, y'all? We are declared righteousness not because of what we've done, but because of what he did on that cross. Amen. Just say the house costs $500,000. You can't afford that house. You got $100 in the bank. Right? But thank God somebody's come. Your rich uncle's come from Texas. Amen. He bought you that house. Paid it in full. That's what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. He paid our sin debt in full. And we take our few dollars, $100, and we try to pay for things in the house. You can't afford it. You try to help pay for that house. With your own righteousness, you can't afford it. You can't afford to live up with the law required of us. You can't afford to live up to being so good to earn your way or work your way or outserve your way to be accepted by God. The Bible says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. He made a way. He purchased us from the slave market of sin. And he's imputed his righteousness onto us. Christ became sin for us. He took my sin debt. He took the wrath that I should have had. And he bore it on a tree on the cross. And he gave us his righteousness. Amen. 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 And then the Bible says that for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. First point I have is the same as the text. Is the, and you can just write down again, the danger of religion without sin. We need to know the danger of trying to live this life without submission. Amen? Amen? For when the Bible says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted. That means they have not surrendered to the righteousness of God. Israel was ignorant. The Bible says, surrendered or submitted to the righteousness of God. Amen? Amen? They have not submitted. And that's where the Lord just broke my heart. Because we're still trying to do it our way. There's a song that says, I got to say the man's name, but he said, I did it my way. We want to do the church that way. We want to do the church our way. And we want to just do enough to feel good, to clean our conscience, to make us feel better about ourselves. And I say it all the time, man, we have to bring some potatoes, a bag of potatoes, a bunch of boxes of lettuce, of leaf, and tomatoes and stuff, and we even got some stuff out at the farmhouse. Man, and I was just thinking, I was sweating a little bit, moving, trying to get the cart. The cart was kind of broken, rickety, just to take stuff downstairs. And I'm telling you, listen, every worker in the church, if you don't know why you're working in the church, if you don't know why you're serving in the church, you need to go somewhere and sit down. Amen. Amen. Guess what? Guess what? We serve as unto Jesus Christ. Guess what? When you show up and you have not been broken and delivered to the word of God, guess what? Your flesh will bleed through. And it'll be you doing it. You cooking the chicken. You cooking the meal for everybody, your family, to come out to sit at your table. And you can mess around and get an attitude with somebody. Because you're doing it. But we must submit to the awesome love of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you love me, that means relationship. Keep my commandments. If you love me, you will submit. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the love of Christ constrains us. And we once thus judge that if Christ died for one, we're all dead. So we got to know why we're doing it. That we've been replaced. And it's the love of Christ where he loved me that I can submit. And I won't mind going. And I won't mind dying to myself. Brother said, every morning I get up, guess what? I got to go into that casket that I might be replaced. The Bible said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? Die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth what? Much fruit. We got to die. We got to die. We got to give up what we think, what we feel, what we feel like, what we think. We got to die to ourselves. Amen. Because somebody ready to get upset. Somebody ready to get mad. Well, you know you were supposed to bring such and such and such and such. I can talk about it, right? Oh, man, y'all act like all season. I can talk about it, right? We can keep it real, right? Because we got to know why. Guess what? You can have my plate. I need to turn down a couple plates. Amen. It's not about that. It's not about the tangible. It's not about who did what. But when you're motivated by the love of Jesus Christ, so what? She didn't speak to you. So what? The pastor didn't call your name. God calls your name. He tells you that you're loved. And that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works and your soul. How many know right well? How many know right well? How many know right well? Raise your hand if you know right well that you're in love. And it's the love of Christ that blows my mind. That if he would do that for me and love me, why in the world would I have an attitude? Some people got an attitude phrase found up. Ain't nothing good. Amen. People look at you and be like, what in the world? Is she saved? We ain't got nobody here like that, right? Ain't nobody in the choir like that. Amen. But we ought to be inviting to Jesus Christ. And y'all, guess what? They were, they being ignorant of God's righteousness. They did not submit. They being ignorant and tried to establish their own righteousness. Guess what? And the key word is submit. Somebody say submit. Amen. They did not submit to the righteousness of God. Israel. Israel was ignorant to God's righteousness. Amen. And me and my wife were coming back, and my daughter, we were coming back from upstate New York, way, way up there. Billy Graham was on the radio. And he said, even back then, they were giving shots for different deep things, and flu shots, and different things that you can get shots for. And the flu shot, when injected, it feels like you're sick. Or the COVID shot, it feels like you're sick. I got sick. You get achy. You get a fever. Amen. But the purpose of the flu shot is to trick your system so that it feels like you had the real virus, to build up antibodies in your life or in your body, that when the real virus comes, you will reject. Your body will fight off. Amen. Your body will fight off the real shot or the real thing. Amen. And it's just like religion. So many people, you've been injected like a flu shot with a religion shot. And religion feels like you got the right thing. It feels like you got the real thing. But it's not. It feels like you had church. It feels like we had a good time. It feels like you shouted and you did all these things, or you sung in the choir. But religion can be a cover-up that you're not. And listen, we talk about the danger of religion without submission. The danger of religion without submission. Listen, a man in the gutter or on drugs, he knows that he needs a Savior. He knows he needs help. He knows. It's like the man that stood and he bowed his head to the earth and he smote his chest. He said, God, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy. But guess what? To the religious person, it's a camouflage. It's a cover-up. You can show up with your Cadillac. We've had always talked about the man with the deacon's hat, with the feather and the cap, and all these things, and it feels like you're saved. Amen? That's why the Bible says in Matthew 7:23, and many shall say to me, in that day, I've done all these things in your name. And guess what? I fall victim. We all do. We grew up in the church. My grandfather was the pastor. My father was the pastor. And we can know how to do the church. And guess what? And be on our way to a burning hell. Amen. We've got to know we've been. That's why we have Bible study. That's why we have men's Bible study, women's Bible study. That's why we're crazy about the word. Because it's not about religion. It's about relationship. Bible says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Y'all say, he said, hear my word. That means we heard it. We've subjected and submitted ourselves to it. And then we believe on him. Him that sent me, we have everlasting life. And he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So it's hearing the word and believing on Jesus. Hearing and believing. It's hearing and believing. And it's our believing that leads to applying. We've got to apply the word. We've got to apply it. Amen. We can get so caught up in tradition and religion. Well, this is the way we did it. No, what does the Bible? Bible says? What did the Word of God say? Amen. Romans, and the second point that I have is, when the Word knocks on the door of your heart, you don't even have to write all that down. You can if you want. You've got to let the Word in. You've got to let the Word in. Somebody say, let the Word in. We got to let the Word in. And guess what, y'all? I'm not just talking about to people that are unsaved. That's the unsaved and the saved. When he says here in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law, for the righteousness of everyone who believeth, for Moses described the righteousness of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart. And he's quoting Moses back from Deuteronomy, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Listen to this, y'all, and this is what they weren't doing. He says, but what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. The word is nigh thee, even in, and it's the faith. It's your faith to believe God, to take him at his word. Because there comes a point in a man's life where the word, it knocks on your heart. And guess what? Salvation is totally of grace. It's totally of God. But guess what? We've got to submit to the knock. We've got to submit to the word. And the children of Israel were not willing to submit. When you talk to some people about submission, amen, they think, man, what do you mean submit? Amen. The hardness of the heart. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, God says, in the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. More than ever before, guess what, y'all? God is speaking. He's speaking through the mountains. God had a chance to go out west and see the mountains. And more than focusing on the buildings of Las Vegas, man, I couldn't get over the mountains. I couldn't get up. How in the world is it 100 degrees out here? And way off in the distance, I can see snow in the mountains. Listen, the Bible says in Romans, we got to submit. Somebody say, we got to submit. We got to submit. Listen, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 1. He says, listen, verse 17, when Paul says, I'm not ashamed in verse 16 of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, for it is the power unto salvation. To everyone that believe, to believe that means you got to take hold. To believe that means you've got to take heed. To believe that means the Bible told Timothy to lay hold unto eternal life. To say, Jesus, I believe you. Lord, I accept you. Lord, I take you in. And guess what, church? It's the power of the preaching of the gospel. And it was Paul, amen, that said the preaching of the gospel to them are foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. I thank God because when we accepted him into our heart, the Bible says in Colossians that he baptized us, hallelujah, into his body, and we died like he died. We were buried like he was buried. And the Bible says, reckon yourselves dead. Somebody say, I'm dead. I'm dead unto myself. And guess what? I'm alive unto righteousness. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation, the power to save me, the power to deliver me, the power to keep me, the power to pick me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. When I think about what he did and the nails that was in his hand and the crown that was on his head, it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. to salvation. Amen. Then he says, listen, then he says this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That means from little faith to big faith. It's revealed. And the Bible says, the just shall live by what we see. Oh, y'all are asleep this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And guess what? It's submitting to his word. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing the word of God. Listen, this word threw me around like a rag doll last night. And y'all want to have a concordance in your Bible that you start off reading the Bible. This scripture may take you to that scripture. And that scripture might take you to that scripture. Next thing you know, you're in East Bend Pip somewhere. That's the power of the word. And as it speaks to your heart, you ever hear the word speak to your heart? It's got to speak. Don't turn a deaf ear to what God is saying. You got to get it personal, like iRumba. iRumba is like a vacuum that you just put it, and it just goes all over the carpet. We ain't got one, amen? But I seen the commercial. Listen, y'all, if y'all don't get nothing else, the word has to have free course. They were not ready to submit to the word of God. Y'all, I could preach for 5 hours. Y'all know that. I could. I'm in love with this word. The word is quick. It's sharp. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Rightly dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. The word is nigh. Even in your mouth, the word of faith that we preach, the gospel message. Guess what? Whatever's going on in my heart, the word is able to cut and convict and get there and show me my heart. They just think I'm crazy. It's okay. Guess what, y'all? I will be a fool for Jesus Christ. Amen. When the Bible says the word is quick, sharp, it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing, as you sit there and meditate. Listen, this is not just for the preacher. This is not just for the evangelist or for the deacon. It's for everybody. You got to have a personal relationship with your word. I'm not bragging enough, boy. I just got this Bible about a year ago, and I found some tape that's the same color of my Bible. You can't even see it. But boy, this thing is all duct tape up. Man, I got another raggedy Bible at home that when I'm going through, boop, those pages open right up to that passage. Or whatever it is the Lord is leading me to. Man, you got a Bible. Listen, it's not about the Bible. But do you have a relationship like that? Man, that the word is like radiation to the bad soil cells in my heart that is able to reach them bad cells. See, real radiation and chemo and all that, it's going to kill some good cells. And you get sicker. They said if the cancer don't get you, the chemo or the radiation will. Amen. But thank God, God's word is not like that. It's pinpointed. To deal with my heart. It's pinpointed. To deal with my wishy-washiness. To deal with my inconsistency. To deal with my attitude to who you're not speaking to. To deal with my lying tongue. To deal with my gossiping tongue. The word is able to pinpoint them bad cells and get there. It's cutting going in. And guess what? It's cutting going out. And it's like a mirror. And I say it every week. It's not exposing me to the world. exposes me to myself. Amen. Paul said, I am persuaded. Amen. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things to come, nothing can separate me. And back in Romans chapter 1, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all godliness and unrighteousness. And men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. This is not just for the unsaved. This is for us. Y'all, we got to get right. Amen. The things, man, when God shows you, and you just walk away. Man, I don't know who he's talking about. Amen. Guess what? We've got to take heed. We've got to take heed to what the word says about us. Because that which may be, Romans 1:19, known of God is manifest in them. God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Somebody say clearly seen. Even to the worst sinner. When the gospel's preached, it's clearly seen that God is real. It's clearly seen, just like I got a watch, there was somebody that made this watch. Just like we got the pulpit, there was somebody that made this pulpit. Just like we got mountains and Niagara Falls and the Grand Canyon and all the wonders of the world, somebody made it. And when the word knocks on your heart to tell you, you've got to get right, you've got to take heed. You've got to open up the door. Amen. And over again, we see Paul was rejected. Jesus was rejected. The book of John, man, I never seen. Guess what, y'all? We're studying through these Bibles, through these books. We went through Romans. We went through Daniel, and one preacher, amen, Minister Tober, is still in Daniel. We went through Revelations. If you can be a part, beg, bar, steal the time to get in this word with us. I'm telling you, it's liberating and transforming, and it has delivering power. Amen, Jesus, they walk and talk with Jesus Christ. On Emmaus Road. And sometimes you feel like that. Amen. And although it got down and it dealt with the inconsistencies of my heart to expose me to the bad selves, guess what, church? Now it's healing me. It's restoring me. It's replacing me with joy and love and peace. And you can say, did not our hearts burn? John chapter 8, man, Jesus was discoursing with them. The word was going forth. I'm about to close my book. The word was going forth. Right? And many rejected. But then the Bible says, and many believed. Because they could not deny the power. We can sit here like we want to, but we can't deny the power of God's word and what he's saying to us. I shout by myself. Amen. They rejected Jesus. He was a threat to their will and what they want to do. I still want to hang out in the club. I still want to sit on the same bar stoop and drink it up with everybody else. I still want to be able to reserve the right, because you don't know these people on my job, to tell somebody off. And so they say, I'll just do good. I'll cook the chicken. I'll cut the grass. I'll be on the usher board. No, you won't, not this usher board. You better boil, you better die. They want to reserve the right to hold grudges. Well, she ain't speaking to me. Why I got to speak to her? Man, I'm preaching. This word is good. Y'all know that? I got a pocket full. But they were not ready. And that's why he says, Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. John 6:63 says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. But the words, somebody say the words. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But they didn't want that word. They wanted the hand miracles. They wanted the fish and the bread and the cars and the BMW and the promotion. They wanted all those things. But they didn't want my Jesus. The Bible says in John 6:66, and from that time forward, many walked away. And Peter and Jesus said, are you going to walk away too, Peter? And Peter said, whom shall we go? Where are we going to go, Jesus? You have the words. Somebody say the words. The words of eternal life. And we believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. 2 Peter 2:19, just write them down. Guess what? Christ was with them. He did the miracles. He was transformed in the Mount of Transfiguration. But the God Bible says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you, you do well if you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. When the word speaks, guess what, y'all? We've got to submit. And we've got to let it have its way. This last thing I'm going to leave you with. For when we reject the word of God, that's why I thought I was going to preach. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, that means take heed. Somebody say take heed. Take heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word, the Lord will also reject you. I'm closing the book. Somebody say, yeah, right. Jesus said, in the day you hear my voice, he said, harden not your heart. Amen. We're living in a world where the gospel entertainers want to just mix it up with the world. And there's no separation. Where even one gospel artist, he went on a show, a secular show, of a man who calls himself the God. Something, I ain't gonna say the name, the God. And the worldly interviewer said to this gospel artist, he said, man, I can't understand. I can't understand. You know, you're supposed to be promoting the gospel, but seem like you're trying to get on our side and be with us. You're trying to, you know, I look at your stuff, I'll be like, well, I can shake to that. I can get down to that. And he said, why are you trying to be? Basically, this is what the world, this is what the demon asked this gospel artist. And he said, well, you know, man, I just believe, I just believe that, man, we got to break down the barriers and break down the walls. Amen. Guess what, y'all? We have a standard. We have a standard. And the standard is the word of God. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away. And when we see all these stuff and these artists and they're hooking up with other artists, BET's best and all this stuff, and y'all know it. This one girl sitting on a horse writing songs about church girl and all this stuff. Guess what, church? God is speaking. He's speaking through the coronavirus.
He's speaking through what's going on in this world. He's speaking even through the murders and the gun rates and all this stuff. He says, the day you hear my voice, harden. Harden. Somebody say, harden now. Harden not your, as we stand to our feet, harden not your heart. And guess what? The enemy wants to join the church. He wants us to have a shouting good time. And I like to shout. I love to shout. But listen. My greatest shout comes through my personal deliverance. Amen. We've got to be very sure. We've got to submit to this word that our anchor holds and grips the solid rock. He says, be either hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Maybe I'm just speaking to myself. But if there's somebody in here and you know there's some things that you're not submitted over to God, I'm telling you, listen. Jacob wrestled. Mary Magdalene. The woman at the well. David, even when he was delivered. You don't know what you're missing. You deliverance, you don't know what you're missing. I went back last Sunday and the men were around the table, all of them seemed like. And guess what, y'all? We left out of there. We were high on the word. We were high, right, y'all? Like the class. Amen. Yo, listen, I'm crazy. Listen, let me get down. We were crazy in the world. We didn't care who saw us acting and playing the fool. Man, I was chasing after my wife. Seriously. Amen. We came out that room with brothers that loved Jesus. Man, I seen the tears begin to just well up in some of them's eyes. Brother Jim. And his brothers in the back. Real men love Jesus. I know I'm on borrowed time right now. I know it. Y'all know what the solution to the gun violence? We've got the solution. In Philadelphia and to Bristol. We've got the solution. It's the gospel. And for fathers to turn their hearts back to their sons and the sons. Listen, the women been leading long enough, right? I got a charge to men. Oh, man, I'm going to call men that want to come up for prayer. We're closing. Please come. If there's somebody and you want to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you can also come. You can come on inside. If there's one that wants to be restored, you can also come and give your life to Jesus Christ. And the third call is to men. I want men to come. Amen. Those men in this place that want to come. Amen for prayer. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in this place. To these brothers, I'm telling y'all, I thank God. Man, listen. I know I went over. I had a friend I grew up with. So I hung out with him just a little bit. I would go to his house. And his father would be sitting in the living room with the Bible open. Right? Man, by his presence, he loved us. I was convicted. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Is there another? Anybody else want to come for prayer? You're welcome to come. Anybody else?
Amen. 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 As the choir sings, we're going to close out. And guess what, y'all? We still got a man in the back watching the door. That's how it's supposed to be. Amen.
He's a wonder in my soul. He's a wonder in my soul.